This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Cheryl.
Tig.
Going clear.
Going clear about Scientology.
A lot of Tom Cruise.
And John Travolta.
A lot of discussion about those two. Nicole Kidman came up too.
She came up.
And now she's listening, by the way. Hello,
she
Nicole.
Is. Hey, Nicole. Hey, girl.
Hey, Nikki. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Oh, what else did we talk about? Oh, man. We covered a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing at the same time.
Yes, nothing. You will leave this episode with nothing.
You're not going to learn anything. You're not going to be a better person.
No. Well, you'll learn that if you drink too much, your face will go numb.
Yeah, you'll learn that. Yeah. So, ladies and jerks, welcome to Going Clear, Scientology and the Prison of Belief.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig.
Hi, Cheryl. We still don't know how to start our show.
We really don't.
Just so people know, on our Zoom while we're recording, we take, a couple of seconds to kind of smirk at each other until somebody says hi.
Until somebody breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really mature way to start a podcast.
Are we a mature?
No.
A mature way?
We're a mature, not amature.
We're a mature podcast. Mm-hmm. We have matured. Do you think we've matured since
no.
we started?
It's gotten worse. I think we've immatured.
I think it for sure has. It really amuses me to think of our first 5 or 6 episodes where we were really...
trying to talk about the documentary like people were actually watching the film.
Here's the thing is I kind of want to go back and listen to the first few and just cringe thinking we don't know how off the rails we're about to go and how pointless it was to try and take it so seriously.
Why do we even try? But listen, we do need to dive into this.
Oh, right.
Yes. You know, people are listening for a reason.
Different reasons, I would imagine.
Mm. Should we say what we're talking about? I forget how this goes.
Do you know what? Somewhere somebody commented in some review or some message that they sent, wondering if this was scripted.
The writer should be fired immediately. I mean, honestly, who could write this?
Yeah. Can you imagine if they submitted a writing sample of this and we okayed it?
That we did punch-ups and it was this.
Yeah.
Listen, let's just, I think we should get into it. Tig, we've got...
Okay. What are we talking about?
Well,
what is this?
Today we're talking about Going Clear, Scientology and the Prison of Belief.
Belief.
Do you want me to tell you what it is? What's
yeah.
About? Okay.
Please do.
Well, Going Clear, Scientology and the Prison of Belief is a 2015 documentary film directed by Alex Gibney and produced by HBO. This documentary explores the inception and rise of Scientology as well as its controversial belief system, history of scandal, and its contentious, tax-exempt status. Oh, I know, I really should have put on my glasses. The film premiered at the 2015 Sundance Film Festival. It won 3 Emmys, the 2015 Peabody Award, and the Award for Best Documentary Screenplay from the Writers Guild of America.
What's going on with your human body?
I just ate this is sad. I just ate this old Christmas Hershey's Kiss that says ho, ho, ho on it. This is how old it is. And for some reason, it's making me very, it's producing a lot of saliva.
It's probably rotten. Why do you have, did you find it in your couch?
I have a jar full of them in the kitchen. And they really caught my eye today, right before we started rolling.
And do you typically eat them?
No, I hardly ever do.
So nobody eats those. They're just sitting there.
Yeah. I mean, they've been sitting here, you know, 4 or 5 months.
Even with a little flag that says, ho, 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 nobody has been lured over there.
Not at all. And wow. It looks like a Santa hat. I think that's also part of the problem. If it was just silver, nobody would know it was from Christmas. But I think that.
Well, yeah.
Now it's a deterrent.
Ho, ho, ho.
Gives it away a little bit.
Yeah.
Tig, this was one that I feel like I had watched, and I felt like I had a very good sense of what this documentary was, but I made myself watch it again, and
I never saw it.
It was all new to me.
See?
I'm glad we don't just phone it in like we want to do.
And like we end up doing it. Anyway.
What did you think of this?
Well, to start off, I thought it was called, originally I thought it was called Going Queer.
That's not true.
I know.
But it's cute.
Thank you.
Maybe you should do a documentary called Going Queer.
Well, maybe there's some filmmakers listening who can make it happen.
Yes.
What did I think of it? You know, I thought it was interesting, but I guess I feel like so many religions are so weird.
Yeah.
And corrupt.
Yeah.
That I just feel like people do weird things and you're supposed to believe really weird things.
Yeah.
Really unbelievable things. And
you weren't shocked by it.
No, because it's like Tom Cruise and John Travolta are part of this. But then you look at other religions like Christianity, where there's very famous people that are part of that religion that are doing weird things or not calling out their religion or whatever it is, their belief system. It's just not that crazy. And I know people love, and I think it's crazy. Trust me, it's crazy.
You think it's all crazy. Do you think every religion is crazy?
I mean, a lot of times.
I mean, what's so interesting about Scientology is that L. Ron Hubbard created it. So he was a science fiction writer who had published over 1,000 books. And he was also a member of a black magic cult run by Jack Parsons, who wanted to usher in the Antichrist. So they were looking for a woman to have a baby as the Antichrist. So that's where he began.
Sure. You have to start somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere.
That's
right.
Where
he started.
And L. Ron, this is also confusing. L. Ron Hubbard. I find that confusing, people that their first name is just an initial. Oh, like CCH Pounder?
Well, there's probably a lot of Ron Hubbards, apparently.
Mm.
And so he puts the L there to be like, I'm not that Ron Hubbard.
I'm different.
I'm L.
But what if his name was Leroy? Why not just go with Leroy Hubbard?
Is his name Leroy Hubbard?
I have no idea. But it's,
oh my God.
What if it's Larry? What if his name was Larry Hubbard and he was just like, ugh, Ron sounds so much better. L. Ron.
I don't know. I'd probably go with Ron over Larry.
Would you? What if it was Leroy over Ron?
Leroy.
Yeah, Leroy has a little more spark.
In fact, I was on Zach Galifianakis's old show on Comedy Central. It was my first time. Maybe I've mentioned this on this show before, but
no, please tell it again.
Oh yeah, well,
that's what we're here for.
That's what we are here for. Don't edit out repeat stories. We don't care. We're aging and forgetful, and our listeners might be like, oh yeah, they've told this story before. So anyway, it was my first appearance on television. And my character's name was Leroy. And I walked into the scene and I put my hands up like this. How would you describe this?
Like, huh?
But it wasn't huh. I was just delivering a very basic line, but I delivered it like that. Like
with the palms up, facing up. And what was the line? Like, well, I don't
know. It doesn't
know.
Matter. The point is, that was me acting. I didn't know how to act, so I raised my arms, palms up.
Uh-huh.
I delivered my line, mm-hmm. and then I delivered my other line,
mm-hmm.
and my other line, palms up. The whole scene, I was palms up with my hands.
And did anybody say, hey, try something else?
No, we did like one take. It was so low budget. And but the whole joke was that Zach's character, I was an old friend of Zach's, and my name was actually Lee, and my last name was Roy.
Mm.
And Zach thought I was a man after all the years of being friends. And so he just thought my name was Leroy.
And then when he saw you, was he like, oh, you're a lady?
Well, no, because the bit
joke
is that we were friends the
for
whole
so
joke
long.
We were friends forever. Oh, he didn't know until I told him.
I have a friend named Kim Mee. I mean, she's an acquaintance, you know. I don't know her very well. She lives across the country. But for so long, I thought her name was Kimmy.
Sure. That makes sense.
And so I would call her Kimmy. And she was like, you know, my name is Kim Me. So every time I was talking to her, we'd like saying, hey, Cheryl Hines. How are you doing, Cheryl Hines? And then I said,
so clearly not a close friend. You never saw her name written out.
No, I had never seen
that. That's how not close.
Until I saw her name written out, I was like, oh, that's not. Oh, I've been calling you your first and last name every time I see you.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, listen. So Ron Hubbard writes a.
But wait, did you think it was weird or were you kind of like, well, yeah, it's weird. Things are weird. People are weird.
Scientology?
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's weird. I agree with you. People do, like, a lot of religion is strange. There are a lot of like ceremonies and traditions mm-hmm. that are just bizarre, but we don't really stop and.
Because they've been around forever.
They've been around for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think people can do whatever they want to do. They can believe whatever they want to believe.
Too.
They can. So none of that, you know, disturbed me or bothered me. But then I think what's interesting is in this film, you see the origin of it all, which really makes you stop and think, oh, he wrote 1,000 books on science fiction and the whole sort of religion is based on sort of a science fiction idea.
Yeah, for sure.
And so when he wrote this book, Dianetics, people really sparked to it. This was in the 50s. He wrote it in the 50s.
Yeah.
And people were really intrigued by it. And I mean, and I also agree with, you know, kind of goes back to cults, doesn't it?
Because
when you think about cults and people are drawn to them because, like, for Scientology, the idea seems to be on its face that we've all had things in our past that prevent us from moving forward because we're so stuck in those emotions from a traumatic moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could find a way to clear those away, mm-hmm. we could move forward and be the best person we could be. And I think that's very attractive.
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea. So people are drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And the people that are drawn to it seem to be behind the idea of, well, we're making the world a better place. I'm making myself a better person so I can be of service to help other people be better people.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start...
Getting in there.
Then it goes to... This is the problem. This is what... This is the difference between, or I don't want to even say regular religion.
Mm-hmm.
Regular, you know, regular and normal, they're not really good words anymore.
No.
You can't use them.
They don't really make sense anymore.
No, because there is no normal.
Yeah, everything's irregular and abnormal.
Yeah. But if you're in a religion or a group, even a group,
mm-hmm.
and people say, hey, come over here and tell me, what's the worst thing you've ever done?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to record this, mm-hmm. and I'm going to take a lot of notes while you tell me,
yeah.
and use names and dates. That would be like, hey, that should be a red flag for anybody.
Yeah, you might find yourself thinking, I'm probably going to end up on a documentary. There's probably... Because between this and Nexium?
Yeah, Ranieri, the volleyball player.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the same idea, right? I mm-hmm. mean, they get people's very personal information, things that they regret or have done that they don't want other people to find out about,
mm-hmm.
and then they use it against them. So it's the same with Scientology from what we learned in this documentary, and we only know what they're telling us.
Do you know Scientologists? Are
I
you?
I do. No, I know.
And you're friends with?
Yes. Friendly.
John Travolta?
John Travolta and I hang out every Wednesday. No, but I would love to be friends with John Travolta. Wouldn't you? No, you don't care.
You
wouldn't want to be because he's a Scientologist.
Do I need to be here for this recording? It sounds like you can ask all the questions and answer them.
Okay, tell me.
Look, I was a big fan of Welcome Back, Kotter and Grease. Mm. And then after that, I stopped watching TV and film. But
wow.
I don't know if I've seen him in anything since. But
Tig.
What?
You haven't seen John Travolta in anything since Grease?
I saw him in Face Off. Wasn't he in Face Off?
I have no idea. I did not see Face Off.
Face Off was good.
Is that when he transferred faces with Nicolas Cage?
That was a good movie. I really liked that movie.
I didn't see that one. Pulp Fiction? No,
I didn't see Pulp Fiction.
Too violent. It's very violent.
Yeah, I'm not into violent movies. Mm-mm. Unless I'm in them, Army of the Dead on Netflix May 21st.
Then you're happily...
Uh-huh.
So if John Travolta called you and asked you if you wanted to go to coffee, what would you say?
I'd be like, Sandy.
Oh, no. Was that your first? Danny Zuko?
Yeah.
Sandy. Oh, my God.
Our son had a Danny and Sandy moment. When he was in preschool, he had his best friend, and they ate lunch together every day. They hugged when they saw each other, said, I love you. And then during the pandemic, they haven't seen each other.
Yeah.
And they signed up. They happened to sign up for the same T-ball team.
Yeah.
And my son was so excited to see his friend.
Aww.
When he showed up, his friend didn't talk to him.
No.
Yeah.
Because why? Just sort of moved on, didn't stick in the memory?
I don't know, but it was...
Aww.
I saw him be...
Aww, heartbroken?
Pretty sad. And then when we got home, he didn't really talk about it. And then when we got home, we were going up to bed at bedtime. He said, yeah, we just have to get used to each other again, I think.
Aww.
I think we just have to get used to each other.
That's pretty amazing that he could come to that conclusion on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Yeah, it was great. It just was
slightly watching, sad.
Oh, it was brutal. I was watching my son go up because the whole time he was like, I'm going to go up and hug him and give him a kiss and tell him I love him. And then
nothing.
Wow.
And I just saw my son like so confused.
Oh,
he's four, you know.
That's a lot.
Anyway, when I was watching it, I was like, this is very Danny. Like, after the summer they had, and then he shows up, and he's like, and she's like, Danny.
Danny.
And he's like, oh, what's happening? I don't know. Who are you?
So going clear, so there's a woman named Spanky. Which, listen, as names go.
She was one of the fortunate ones.
Wait, could that really be her name?
God-given name, mm-hmm. Since we're talking about religion? I don't know. Even if it's not, and somebody's calling you Spanky.
And you're like 40.
You're grown.
You're
a
grown-ass
even
person.
Before 40, it seems like there is an age where you say, how's about
we
go in a different direction?
Yeah. You mm-hmm. would think so. But, I mean, listen, but if she...
Like Spankers. Is there a name you've wanted for yourself that you don't have?
My name was Cece for a while.
Why?
Because I was a personal assistant for Rob Reiner and his family. And they already had an assistant named Cheryl. So we had to come up with a different name for me.
Mm-hmm. Cece.
So I said, well, I've always wanted to be called Cece.
Did they ever ask you, Cece, can you CC me on that?
Oh, no.
What?
I'm sure they did.
And you probably didn't even notice it.
I didn't. At the time, it wasn't hilarious.
CC me, Cece.
Oh, but I mean, listen, we're talking about names and your name is Tig.
Yeah.
I mean, people could be saying, Spanky could be saying the exact same thing about you. Like,
oh,
hey.
Spanky better not. Spanky, if you are listening.
At some point, Spanky's like, okay, don't give me a hard time about being called Spanky. She's being called Tig.
You know, people always tell me that my name, Tig Notaro, is a better name than my Star Trek name, and that it sounds like a Star Wars name.
What's your Star Trek name?
Don't act like you don't follow the show. It's Jet Reno.
Oh, Jet Reno. I always think of Janet Reno when I hear that. No offense.
Well, that's
nothing to be offended by. Yeah. Anyway, Tig, in Going Clear, Spanky. Mm-hmm.
Spank-a-doodle-doo.
She's a young woman and she joins the Sea Org, the Sea mm-hmm. Organization in the Scientology organization. And it's a big deal. And this mm-hmm. is her talking about the contract she had to sign.
Sea Org is the most fraternal order of the organization. It's people who really, really believe in the cause and sign a billionaire contract. Which I did when I was, you know, as soon as I could. I let Skidmarks get into that billionaire contract.
A billion year contract.
That might be the moment where
like, wait a second.
This is a circus.
Could we just make it like a 2 year and see what happens? They're like, no, it's a billion years or nothing.
I would even say 3 months. I feel like that is a good time to really assess somebody in a situation.
If someone said, hey, can you just sign here? It's for a billion years.
And do you think anybody responded to that without doing a double take or kind of a little, a billion years? Or do you think everybody, when they said sign a billion years, went, oh, okay. Right there.
I don't, sign it seems like.
Dot, not I, cross it.
Could I make it 2 billion years? It seems like, yeah, that would be a red flag, but it's hard to imagine anybody.
Tom Cruise signed a billion-year contract?
No, because I think these were just Sea Org people. And then So then she said as soon as she joined the Sea Org, that mm-hmm. they took them to this ship uh-huh. and they immediately started making them scrub the ship with tiny scrub brushes.
Sure.
In the hot sun.
And they made how much an hour? Was it like 30 cents?
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
What
are they getting out of this?
That's what I don't understand. I mean, I guess camaraderie.
But I've gotten that without making 30 cents an hour using a toothbrush
to scrub.
Scrubbing filth. I think I have. I mean, people have certainly turned out to be not who I thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
But
at the same time, it wasn't soul crushing. Like, a person could join their community theater group in their town and mm-hmm. feel a great sense of camaraderie.
Yeah, Cheryl's mm-hmm. shaking her shoulders as she says it.
Hey, Music
Man.
Trying
to make it sound fun. That is the statement you made about local theater. What you added in with your shoulders really implies it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a part of community theater?
Of course I was.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Music Man, you know, I did a dance in the library. I was a chorus
Unrelated.
Member. Unrelated. I was just dancing around.
The library.
But I guess what's really interesting in this film is, so Paul Haggis.
Why do I know his name? Just because he's such a big director?
Yes.
Oh, and he created Facts of Life. Is that right? Or was a producer on Facts of Life?
I have no idea. Now I feel like I need to Google that. That does not sound. Didn't
the Facts of Life.
The Facts of Life. It's the facts of life.
The facts of life.
Tootie. Paul Haggis, but he.
Do you know Paul?
Do I know Paul?
Oh boy.
Okay. Here's my Paul Haggis story. I don't know if it's gonna translate over the airwaves, but
I know it won't. Go on.
Rachel Harris and I were at the Vanity Fair Oscar party. So this mm-hmm. must have been when he wrote, directed, produced the film Crash, and then won an Oscar. So that night that he won an Oscar, Rachel Harris and I happened to be at the Vanity Fair Oscar party. Yeah. We had too much to drink. And
of course.
And so we're standing there talking to Paul Haggis and, who else were we talking
to? John Travolta.
So cute. And so we're talking to him, and Rachel is just looking at me and keeps giving me signals. Like, she's touching her forehead, and then she's giving me, like, a cut-off signal, like, cut it off, touching her forehead, cutting it off. And I'm like,
you had a booger.
I didn't know what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And Paul is, you know, he just went, this is his night. I'm dying to hear what Paul Haggis has to say. And finally, right. I was like, Rachel, I don't know what your signal is to me.
Yeah.
And she said, I can't feel my face. I've had too much to drink. And I was like, oh my God, did you just stop our entire conversation with Paul Haggis so you could tell me you can't feel your face?
How much did she drink? It makes me think. I mean, I'm not the world's biggest drinker, I'll be honest.
No, but even if you have like two martinis on an empty stomach, that's like, you know, that's something.
What do you mean it's something? Where you wouldn't be able to feel your face? Have you ever had so much to drink you couldn't feel your face?
I'll say yes.
Oh my gosh.
Have you not?
No.
What?
I mean,
have you never been, you've never been drunk?
No, I've been drunk before. It's not a regular occurrence.
Yeah.
But it's never been to the point of being unable to feel my face.
No, I mean, that does seem very specific. And at the time, I was like, I don't know what that means.
So she wasn't trying to shut you up. She was just trying to say, I can't feel my face.
Yeah.
See, if I was drunk, I just would have interrupted you and Paul and just said, oh, my God, I'm so drunk. I can't feel my face.
So getting back to Scientology for a moment.
Yeah.
Also, what's kind of crazy to watch in this documentary is is people, you know, going clear and they hold on to two. I mean, it honestly.
Toilet paper rolls.
It looks
copper
like,
toilet paper
rolls.
It looks
like two tin cans with a string.
They look like.
It doesn't look like a high tech. It doesn't look high tech at all.
There's so many moments, again, where you would just, I don't know if it's like a cynical comedian, but I would be looking around like I'm on a prank show.
Right.
Like somebody handed me copper toilet paper rolls with, and said,
with
tell me
wire.
All your secrets.
Yes. And then you would see a needle moving, and when it starts to really move, they go, stay there, tell us more about that part.
And do you suppose there's somebody listening somewhere that's moving the needle somewhere?
I couldn't get a vibe on that.
It has to be the case.
Is it just testing your pulse or?
No, I don't think it actually works.
Well, it said it was like slightly related to a lie detector test.
Yeah, but I think they need to take a lie detector test about
the
saying
copper.
It's part of a lie detector test. I think they're lying. I think somebody's probably listening and moving the dial to where they want them to stay. And then they make it look like it's real. So Tom Cruise and John Travolta did this.
Yeah. But see, you know what I do respond to is, it does seem sort of exciting that one person is listening to all your stories and they're so curious about your life that they want you to hold the little cans in your hand to see what really gets you going and what was really painful in your life. And then they talk you through it and they try to get you over it so it's not blocking you anymore. I see how that could be appealing. Although they were talking about having like.
Isn't that what friends are for?
Oh, yeah.
Or therapists?
Yeah, you does seem like a wise friend would be cheaper.
Yeah.
Cheaper than Scientology.
Right.
I mean, because it's not like the people that are doing this auditing have degrees in psychology or anything, right?
It seems like no. It seems like, I mean, are we going to get harassed and chased down for talking about this? Will scientists, they'll listen to this.
Well, here's what I also think. I'm sure that there are probably plenty of Scientologists that are great, amazing people that are living their best life and doing their best in the world. And then mm-hmm. they're probably, yeah, the guys that sit outside in an unmarked van.
With cameras on their heads.
Yeah, those were some low-tech, like, cameras taped to their baseball hats.
That was so utterly insane. Again, it seems like a hidden camera show.
Yeah.
Every part of it, I feel like I would be constantly saying, this can't be. Like, if I saw those guys outside my door.
With their video cameras taped to their heads?
Yeah, I would. I mean, obviously it would be disturbing, but it would also be like the buffoonery.
Well, just so people know what's going on in this documentary, that when people tried to leave Scientology, then sometimes they would be harassed by a small group from the Scientology department.
Well, is that the thing? Is it directly the Scientology, the Church of Scientology, or is it people
hired by?
Yeah, who's actually doing it?
Yeah, that was unclear. Unclear.
Yes.
But anyway, we're skipping ahead.
Okay,
we're spilling beans, even though I think people know these beans.
Yeah, and I think people just want to know about John Travolta and Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Well, because it is interesting because they're intelligent, successful people. Mm-hmm. So you feel like, okay, well, clearly they're attracted to it for some reason, and they're mm-hmm. getting something out of this.
Well, yeah, like any religion, there's so many people that get positive stuff out of their religion or cult or whatever. But there's also, as we've already discussed, so much rough stuff that can go on.
There's some rough stuff. I mean, one moment of rough stuff, I feel like I would be out.
Okay, at what point?
See, I would probably go along with the holding the tin cans and telling some stories because I would want to see
where the meter went to.
Yeah, I would want to see where the meter went. And
so
I
would tell them a real story, or would you make something up?
Well, I mean, I haven't like robbed a bank or killed anybody. So what? I don't know what kind of story would be so exciting for someone to hear.
Robbed a bank. Oh, my God. Robbing banks.
And then talking about it to my auditor in Scientology.
I robbed some banks in Orlando.
And the needle's like, bing, 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 bing.
Stay there.
We need names, figures. I mean, I would try to find the most interesting story, right?
Has anyone ever asked you to go to the Church of Scientology, or check it out? Or
no, I mean, I remember like walking down Hollywood Boulevard at some point when I was younger and somebody standing outside like, would you like to come inside?
Wait, it's not even on Hollywood Boulevard.
What is it on? Sunset?
It's on Sunset, yeah.
But I never went in.
Uh-huh.
Although I was interested. But there was also a part of me that was like, I don't know what goes on in there. I'm interested to see what the process is and why people are drawn to it and what really goes on.
Like a science project, not like you're interested considering joining.
No, I wouldn't be interested to join.
Yeah.
No. Okay. But what about you?
Are you really asking me?
I'm asking you if you'd like to become along.
No.
Has anybody ever asked you to check it out?
No, but, you know, driving past it, it's such a weird color of blue, the building, you know?
And why do they call it, it's called like the Celebrity Center something. That's also
good
a little
question.
Strange.
Why does it say that?
Because they wanted to attract celebrities, to attract more people. That's also what I don't understand about religion. that feels the need to recruit other people.
Yeah.
That seems like a red flag. Like, just do your thing.
When people want to recruit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know, but when you think you have...
something fantastic.
Not just fantastic, but that your life has changed and potentially mm-hmm. other people's life could mm-hmm. change for the better.
Yeah.
I never understood it until I became vegan.
Ah.
And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I want people to understand how much better my life and health and how great I feel. And so I understand
trying to recruit.
Yeah. And I want your life to be as good or feel as good as mine.
So if somebody eats cheese around you, are you secretly thinking, ugh, why are you eating so much cheese?
It's not a feeling of, ugh, why are you eating so much cheese? I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you don't have to eat that. There's so many alternatives to dairy cheese that are delicious. And I know
cashew cheese.
I know the brands. I know the cheese to eat. And it would, I mean, if we really want to get into it, any processed food.
Yeah.
It's not good for you.
It's not good for you.
Whether it's dairy cheese or vegan cheese. Mm-hmm. But then that goes into harming animals and, you know, people saying, oh, I'm an animal lover. And it's like, well, you're killing animals. But
you're eating a lamb chop for dinner.
Yes. Mm. And
but is there something to be said for the people that say, oh, well, this is how we've evolved as humans. It's been part of the food chain.
Well, of course, people say that all the time.
And you say cashew cheese to you, sir.
That's what I say to everyone. Cashew cheese to you, sir. It's part of the food. It's not like there's so much to say. I mean, cows, people are eating cows by the gazillion billions. And it's not like cavemen ate cows. Mm. That's like something introduced into our diet that is so toxic for the human body and the environment. And it's not like we have to kill cows to survive. Or
you should go to Bhutan, the country Bhutan, because in Bhutan they don't kill any animals, and most people there are vegan or vegetarians. And even if they do eat meat, it has to be imported because they don't do it in their country. Isn't that interesting?
I've been very interested to visit Bhutan.
The thing about Bhutan is you have to have a guide when you go. You can't just show up in Bhutan willy-nilly.
Somebody has to invite you, right?
They don't necessarily have to invite you, no. But you
that's to live there, I think.
Oh, that may be true.
Yeah. When were you in Bhutan?
I went about 5 years ago.
And it's beautiful, right?
It is very beautiful. And one of the things that I remember is they have these chili peppers that are red, and they put them on their tin roofs to dry out. So you look out and you see all these, it looks like red roofs, but they're really chili peppers. Okay, look it up. Anyway, let's get back to...
But I mean, have you had anything like that where you felt like you wanted to spread the word? Aside from my comedy.
I don't know. I think when somebody dies, it's very difficult to process. And I do think the book on death and dying is important to read, just to know that a lot of people have been through the same sort of feelings and thoughts that you're having. And that's the only thing that sort of compels me to reach out to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, people can do whatever they want to do. But I'm not going to, like, scrub a toilet with a toothbrush. I don't care who you are or what you tell me to do.
Listen, I highly doubt that you won't be scrubbing something, a toilet with a toothbrush.
Okay, so now John Travolta's in Scientology. Tom Cruise is in Scientology.
Yeah.
All these people are assigned to Tom Cruise. They do everything for him. They trick out his cars and his motorcycles. Motorcycles
and planes.
Planes. And then he falls in love with Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm. Boy, does she have some stories to tell.
Oh, she must.
We should have her on this.
Nicole.
We should have had her on this episode.
DM us. And then she was sort of taking Tom away from the Scientology church. So then one of the guys in the documentary was assigned to break them up.
Mm-hmm.
And they wiretapped her phone. Oh, I'd be so mad. Would you be furious if Stephanie was like, okay, I've been listening to all of your conversations and we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how she talks. It's so crazy to think about. Is it like a bunch of people sitting there listening to all your phone calls?
And what do you suppose they heard? That
I mean, mine would be so dull, I think.
I know. I always tell people when everybody's like, oh, the government is listening in on your calls, or I'm yeah. always like,
okay,
enjoy yourselves.
I hope you enjoyed my Bed Bath & Beyond discussion with my friend. I know. Who is listening? Who are the people that are listening to, you know, hours and hours of this
and
crap?
If they did, there's not a lot they're going to get out of my private conversations or my texts.
Mm-mm.
There's just not anything in there.
Move along, government. Move along.
Move along. I'll gladly give you access to my email, my phone. There's nothing in there.
There's nothing in there. But so the controversial thing about Scientology is they decide if somebody is, what is it when they're called bad actors, bad people? What are they called? Negative Nellies.
I'm sure it's not negative Nellies.
Yeah. But if someone's considered to be a negative Nelly and
they're problematic.
Yeah. Then the church will say, hey, break it off with that person, even if that person's your son.
Disconnect, right?
Disconnect.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
I have to disconnect from you?
Mm-hmm. With the family member, with your friends, and people do.
Yeah.
So people start disconnecting, and then it's, I guess, instead of negative Nelly, it's really called a suppressive person.
You guys are all just a bunch of negative Nellies. And if that, I wouldn't even put it past the Church of Scientology to call somebody a negative Nelly. And I mean, because they had you sign a billion-year contract.
And they were okay with that. It's all right, well.
It's not like they're beyond being silly or ridiculous.
Yes. So Tom Cruise had to cut out Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
For being a negative Nelly.
Do you know Nicole Kidman?
I don't. Mm-mm. Do you?
No, I had to introduce her once at an award show, and she was, I think she's a tall drink of water, and
she's
she had,
tall and thin.
She's not obese.
Mm-mm, she's not.
And she had high heels on, and while I was standing next to her, I remember thinking, am I reminding her of Tom Cruise at all?
She went home and was just so angry at you. She's like, ugh, getting over it.
I wasn't even slightly on her radar. I was like, hi, Nicole. My name's Tig. I'm introducing you. And she was just nodding like, I can hear you because I have ears. But I don't think she knew me or cared.
No, she hasn't thought about you since.
She didn't think about me while my mouth was moving and I was introducing myself to her.
When you were standing in front of her.
Looking like her ex-husband. It was a funny moment. I don't normally get pictures with famous people, but it was a moment where I was like, I would love to get a picture of us together.
But you didn't get one?
No.
No, you're not going to be that person. She's not going to smile for that silly picture.
She's not going to take that picture. Anyway, it didn't work out.
All right, so now, okay, so L. Ron Hubbard, okay, about the spills and beans died.
Wait a minute. We didn't get a chance. You didn't get a chance to tell people to pause. Well, and turn your vacuum cleaner off.
Oh, what was his name? Aiden. Wasn't it Aiden that's vacuuming? Yeah, Aiden. I'm sorry. I should have told
you. Is Aiden a guy's name?
In my mind.
Aiden, turn your vacuum cleaner off. Because that's right, Aiden. We're talking to you. Turn your vacuum cleaner off.
Actually, I think Aiden should keep it on because there's really...
I can't believe you remembered Aiden's name.
No, I know.
Because it was impressive.
Well, I have a stepson named Aiden.
Oh, okay.
So it stuck in my tiny, tiny mind.
Yes.
Most things don't. Most things just bounce right back out.
Okay.
So then this guy, David Miscavige.
Doesn't matter.
How do you say it?
Miscavige,
Miscavige, Miscavige.
It truly doesn't matter. There's no part of me that cares. Or that's looking at you like, no, that's not it.
He takes over and he's like really drunk with power, don't you think, this guy?
Probably face is numb. He's so drunk.
His face is numb. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. He harasses people and he becomes good friends with Tom Cruise.
What if the Church of Scientology heard this episode and started using this as a way to lure people into their organization?
Where they're like, these two could not talk enough about Scientology. Here's an excerpt.
Yeah, there's a nice balance of why you should or shouldn't. But we feel like this is for everyone's benefit. Now sit down, hold on to the copper toilet paper rolls.
By the way, when you were watching this, were you thinking, oh, God, they're in Florida. There they are in Clearwater, Florida.
Florida.
What happens in Florida?
Cheryl Hines is born.
People love to just set up camp in Florida and do crazy shit.
Yeah.
By the way, this is a $3 billion company. It's not really a company.
I would have thought it would be more.
What?
I would. Because aren't people... Now, does Tom Cruise and John Travolta, do they have to give their money to the Church of Scientology?
I have no idea. It does seem like they support them somehow. But that's very personal. Whatever they want to give, I don't know. But it does seem like the people that talked about it in this film, they did seem to indicate that people were expected to give money.
Yes.
I mean, even Paul Haggis was like, I gave them, what did he say, like $250,000 or something?
A lot.
What about the other actor? He was awfully cute.
He was all attitude, huh?
Jason Bigg? He was killing me. Because he was like, the first 2 years, I'm killing it. I'm going clear. I'm doing my, what do they call them when you're doing your audits? He's like, and then started getting a little weird. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get out. But then I couldn't get out. They were fucking with my mind. I just liked the way he talked. He was like very, like you were talking to a friend. Was telling you about it.
I don't know. He surprised me with his attitude, like that he would have been in as long as he was.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there are clearly good things about this.
But what are the good things?
Well, it's like we talked about before, the reason why people are attracted to it, if the idea is like to clear away or process all
of
the... But
do people do that?
Yes. I think it probably does help to sit there and talk to someone about something traumatic or dramatic that happened to you that you've been holding on to that you can't move past.
Sure. But I mean...
I think if you're sitting there and you're like, if somebody, was taking the time to listen...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And to hear like what your thoughts are and what you want to accomplish.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're
about to join.
Yeah. But it sounds like you really don't have much of a problem.
I don't have a problem.
Even though they're not being very nice?
Well, right. Yes. I don't think that they should harass people. I don't think that... But even when this guy Jason was describing people being sent to the hole, which was like a little Scientology prison. And they weren't allowed out. But he said, if somebody walked in there and said, okay, you can all leave. If the government walked in and said, you should all leave, that none of them would have left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there, so people are there on their own free will.
For sure. But it just feels like there's a lot of vulnerability.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's, like I said, it's the same with so many religions.
Well, I mean, I think it's good that people can communicate online, and that's how Scientology was exposed. And even the Keith Raniere thing, that's how it was exposed. Somebody started writing about it and blogging about it, and people started joining in. So I think that's good, and I think it creates a checks and balances type of system that we should have.
Right. So potentially Scientology could be a positive thing if there were some checks and balances.
I mean, well, look at Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
There are bad things that have gone on.
Not in Catholicism, Cheryl.
But a lot of, you know, but that's like specific people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not what everybody in the group gets together and agrees on.
Right. But when you leave the Catholic Church,
yeah,
you're not hunted down.
No. No.
That's where it gets really different.
Yeah. And I think that people should sue them. And I think that's the only way that they're going to get it to expose it.
Yeah.
So anyway... Tig, are you ready for Happily Ever After Thoughts?
Boy, am I. Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you cry?
No. Did you?
No. No, but that would have been interesting. Okay.
I sobbed through the entire film. I had a box of tissues.
Who were you attracted to?
Spanky.
You were attracted to Spanky.
Spanky.
She is attractive.
Spanky. I would say, well, I'm attracted to 70s and 80s John Travolta.
Ah.
He made an appearance in the movie, so that's...
All right. Well, if we're doing that, I mean, I am attracted to Tom Cruise.
Thank you. Stephanie is in love with Tom Cruise.
I mean, I can see why.
She thinks he's very compelling and just such a great actor, and she just loves watching him.
Is that why she married you? Because you're like the next best thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If I did my... If I did my own stunts, I would snap in two. I'm like, but yes, it is funny that she ended up marrying me. Mm-hmm. And it is funny that I ended up on Star Trek and in this new zombie action film, that my life is going in the direction of action.
Yes.
Yeah.
She knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm. Wait, who are you attracted to? Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I'm attracted to Tom Cruise.
To TC?
TC.
Have you met him?
I haven't.
Hmm.
Mm-mm. In my mind, I have.
Hello.
You think that's how he talks?
Hello.
No, I was just more of an onlooker of just like, hello. You too.
Oh.
And did you cry? No.
No, I didn't cry. No. No, but I did. I really liked this documentary.
Uh-huh.
Not that we're here to tell you if we like it or not. Are we? Is that part of our show?
Have you never listened to our show? Are you unfamiliar?
It's really well done. It's fascinating. It's interesting. The people in it are just It was just really, really well done.
Oh, and
yes,
this might be fun for our listeners to know, but we're not going to fully spill the beans, but you and I might be going on a trip together.
Oh, yeah.
Stand by. It might be fun for our listeners.
I hope this happens. I hope this happens.
I hope we'll keep you posted. Girl, I hope this happens.
Oh, hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. Yes, we might be going on a trip together, and we will keep you posted.
Keep you posted. You want to read some true fan mail before we go?
Of course, girl. Of course. All right, Paige D writes, my favorite episode has been The Inventor. I loved it so much that I shared it with an old friend who I knew would enjoy it, and I was right. She lost her shit when it came to the part on herpes testing in Walgreens. She shared the episode with her husband, and he couldn't believe that you two were not drunk. I assured her that you two were definitely not drinking when recording your podcast, but now I'm second-guessing myself. And have wondered if, in fact, you do drink during the recording. No judgment from us if you are, but can you please let us all know so we can put the issue to rest? Thanks for all the laughs. I don't really drink. In fact, I haven't had a drink in almost a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have. But I don't
old
do it
numb well. Face over here.
I don't drink while we're doing our podcast. It's the only time I don't drink. I think I wouldn't be able to talk. I already have a hard time, and I'm professional. Like, just giggling the whole time, which is gross.
Ew. Old numb face. No, we're not drunk.
Mm-mm.
We're stone cold sober.
Immature.
Immature and sober. Mm-hmm. Not sober. And I'm not like a sober person. I'm not in AA.
But it's okay if you are.
Well,
yes. If one is.
Right. It would just be weird if me, who has a drink maybe once every month or two, would go to AA. Mm. I'm just saying.
Yes, we get
it. I don't have a problem with drinking. For health reasons.
But if one does, that's okay too.
For
health
reasons.
Yes,
I haven't had a drink in over a year. In almost a year.
You're very healthy. I don't know how you do it. You guys, we love reading your messages, comments, and reviews. Keep letting us know what
you
think about the docs and leave us a review. And we just might read your responses on the show.
And by the way, we will be watching Crip Camp next week, which you can watch on Netflix.
Fantastic.
Cheryl, should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. You can also email us at tigandcheryltruestory@gmail.com. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.